Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Acts 20. Well, we had a really good time yesterday in our men's fellowship. We got into a very deep discussion, and God brought a lot of light. It was a true time of just sharing, and it's amazing what will happen when four or five people with revelation get together. It was five of us. It was grace, I remember. And revelation just started flowing between all of us. Everyone had an opportunity to share, and we all received illumination at that table. Spirit of revelation and sat down upon us, and I'm going to have George, Pastor George, share a few things in a minute. Testimony he was sharing with me really was profound. It really touched my heart, and it was kind of along the lines of what we were speaking about. And so I want to begin here in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, and it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God. I commend you to God. I present you to God and to the word," look at this, "of his grace." Notice that, the word of his grace. The word of his grace. The word covers many areas, but he was commending them to God, presenting them to God, and to the word of his grace. Now notice this, is which is able to build you up. See, the word of his grace will build you up. Because the word of his grace is not just the word. The word of his grace grants you access to grace. So it's very important to receive the word of his grace. And we've been in this series and understand the word of his grace and what grace is, what blocks grace, because notice what the word of his grace is able to do. It's able to build you up, not tear you down. The only part that God's ever going to tear down is the flesh. But concerning you and who you are in the kingdom of God, your sonship, being a daughter in the kingdom of God, concerning your calling, concerning your destiny, concerning his promises for your life, he's never going to tear any of that down. He's only going to build that up. Now, anything that's in the way, flesh, and more flesh, works, operations, the world system, some of that he'll allow to be torn down. And it's sometimes if we're too attached to that side, we feel like we're getting torn down. You know what I mean? Feels like sometimes our world's falling apart because sometimes we got our foot in the wrong place. Now I'm on it. Hallelujah. And sometimes you got your foot in the wrong place and that part's being torn down. You feel like you're being torn down because your foot's in the wrong place. I can't tell you how many times, well, not that many times, just a few times in life, even in ministry, that my foot got in the wrong place. You know, you can't be everywhere and do all things. You got to do what God tells you to do, and you got to be where he is. Where I am, there shall my servant be also. But there's times that I've gotten misplaced in life, and I've gotten off a little bit in the wrong place. It was a good thing, but it wasn't a God thing. And God said, nope, that won't do. And so what happens when some of that starts getting torn down, you feel like you're getting torn down with it, but the only real thing that's being torn down is that false foundation by what you're standing on. So sometimes if you're going through a lot and you're in the furnace of affliction and you're in the trials of life, know for certainty you're going to come through. Because God's going to realign you and get you on the right place. But listen, when you're in the right place with God, fire can't even touch you. It can't touch you. Somebody say amen. The storms of life will be raging around you, but you'll sleep in the boat because everything in you is in the right place. You won't even know there's a storm. Somebody will have to wake you up and say, hey, it's storming out there. The waves are crashing in the boat. Jesus was laying there. You know why? Because every part of him was centered into the Father. Now, you can see the difference between where he was and the disciples. You remember when they got out on the boat, he already said, let us go to the other side. See, when you're aligned with God and you're in grace and you're in that place, everyone say that place, under the shadow of the Almighty, in the secret place of the Most High, being hid in the pavilion of God, my greatest prayer is, hide me, God, hide me. Hide me from the world. Hide me from the troubles of life. Just hide me. Oh, there is a place, my friend, you can be hidden every day once you learn to enter in and learn how to properly surrender. You can get hidden. I was up in there this morning. Believe it or not, I got up early this morning. Just walk right into the pavilion of God, and he hides you. It's a whole different world. It really is, because that's where he lives. You get where he lives, and the troubles of this world don't come up in there, because he's far above it. Go over to Mark 4 while you're at it, since you asked. I wasn't going there, but I'm going there now. Now I want you to see something here in Mark 4. He just talked about how the sower sowed the word, and thief coming immediately to steal the word. And then what happens? He gets into the boat, verse 35. Mark 4, 35. I want you to see the difference. Because sometime in life, we're going to have to get where he is. Because he's made it available. One thing is, I don't want to be where the disciples were. I want to be where he is. Amen? Hallelujah. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, he got that instruction. He received it. He got it in Texas. He received it in any other state. Did y'all get that? We use got in Texas. He got the instruction from the Father. If you want to be proper, prim and proper, he received the instruction from the Father. He receives, he says, let us go the other side. He was not operating in his own accord. He was operating the instruction of the Father, but more importantly, he was with the Father. Now see, when you're with the Father, there's going to be a lot of things coming. When you're centered in the grace of God, there's going to be some things coming and you won't even know they're around you. Now I want you to see the two different places, and I'll let you choose where you want to be. Amen? Because these guys were within a 6 to 8 foot proximity of one another, and they were completely in two different places. Jesus was in one place, and those disciples were in another. And though you could be sitting right next to somebody, you can be as far as the east is from the west spiritually, depending on where you want to get aligned, where you want to get centered. Because when the storms come, it will tell the tale. Because when the storms come, you're going to find out who's resting and who's not. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. I wonder how he was right then. He just got through ministering and all kinds of things. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm. Whenever God speaks to you to go somewhere, you might as well know on your journey there'll be a storm. The problem with the storms is where you are. Jesus, in a minute I'm going to show you, didn't even know that there was a storm. The only ones who knew that there was a storm are the ones who attached to the system where the storms come. He wasn't there. He was in the same boat, same proximity, but he was totally somewhere else. And we got to get into that place if we're going to make it. I don't want to just make it with everything torn. I want to go through with victory. I want to walk and make it with him. I want to get to the place when a storm comes, I'm not right in the middle of it, being spun around. I don't want that storm inside me. If you're in the kingdom, that storm is not going to get up inside you. If you're not in the kingdom. Now, I'm not talking about being born again. I'm talking about being positioned under the shadow of the Almighty. Adam, where are you? It's the same thing. You're not with me. You don't think God knew where Adam was? Think he had to go ask him? I mean, God looking at him and say, Adam, where are you? Because you're not with me. It's possible to follow the Lord and be very far from him. These guys were following him. They got in the boat with him. They were his disciples. But they weren't where he was. And they didn't understand him half the time. To draw down from that mantle, to watch him demonstrate the Father's kingdom, to hear him expound, to be in the circumference of that kind of glory that was on his life. I used to tell the Lord, I said, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. He said, you can be with me just like they were. He goes, because I actually brought you to a much greater place than they were in the natural. You're one with me in spirit. And you can be with me. There arose a great storm of wind and waves and beat the ship. They were beating the ship. This wasn't small. These waves are crashing in. How many watched The Deadliest Catch? That's an awesome show. You know, the crab fishermen in the Bering Sea? Man, you got to be a man to do that job. I just like watching them. That's some serious stuff they go through. They're in the sea. And that sea rose against them. It was crashing into the ship. Now we're going to find out where you're at. Or where are you? Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. Asleep on a pillow. Resting. Wow. Now get this picture. The boats weren't that big. They were in a 5 to 8 foot proximity of one another. He was totally somewhere else. And they awake him and said, Master, carest thou not, we perish. Can you see what's going on here? Don't you even care what's happening here? It's like Martha came to him. They're always trying to get him out of where he is. Where he is, he's not moving. The Lord's going to pull you into where he is, but he's not coming over there. He said, you got to get with me. You notice what he didn't do? Oh, come here, young child. Come here. I'm so sorry that you've been tossed and afflicted. Let me comfort you a little bit. But that's not what he did. They were completely out of alignment. I probably would have been just like them. I know you've been the spiritual one sleep right next to him. So why are y'all waking us up? You didn't know that he said, let's go to the other side. He rose up and rebuked them. He said, oh, you have little faith. I already said, let's go to the other side. I am resting in the Father's bosom. He was somewhere else, and they were definitely somewhere else. Whenever you get stirred too easily by the storms of life, nobody is going to be immune. You got to get that out of your theology. You're not going to be immune from the storms of life. They're coming. Especially if you center your life around the depth of God's word, the devil will always come try to steal, kill, and destroy. You got to know it's where you are in the middle of it. Everybody was in the storm. The waves are crashing in. Not even the storm woke him up. It took a disciple to wake him up that was full of care, full of fear, full of anxiety, full of everything but where he was. Even being awakened from that place, he did not move over. You ever had a room full of people come in just frantic? Usually you jump right in the middle of the franticism. Is that a word, franticism? Franticism, that's my brand new one. Put it in my dictionary. Full of franticism. Hallelujah. You ever had somebody, a whole bunch of people running there and just panic strikes your heart? Did not strike his heart. He had a barrier around him. He had a shield around him. He did not allow anything from the systems of this world to enter in. Isn't that amazing? See, that's what grace will do for you. I mean, Pastor George referred to it as an endless sea of grace. Just think about that a minute. Close your eyes. An endless sea of grace. I go back to Acts 20. He said, it's able to build you up. It says, in the word of his grace, able to build me up. I got to get into the word of his grace, because the word of his grace is going to open up the throne of grace. And I want to say this to you, if I haven't said it 20 times already. The throne of grace should be an everyday encounter for every one of us. I was pretty heavy in there the other day. It was Friday, actually. And the Lord said something to me so profound in there. He said several things to me. Two things he said to me. And now, this might be simplistic to you, but when God speaks something to you, he takes simplicity and makes it profound. Amen? He just has a way of doing that. You could have told me it 100 times, but when he says it to you, bam! He said to me, I still love taking your burdens. And he says, most people come to me when they give their life that initial one time. See, you came in that place of surrender and you turned your life over him and he took the burden of sin from you. He goes, and then they spend the rest of their life running from me. As if I wouldn't want to take their daily burden. I took their eternal sin. But then when it comes to a shortcoming or a failure or a daily burden, we get in condemnation and we feel, oh, he doesn't want me there. I don't feel like being there. You see the difference in the mindset? And so what we do, we're here, but we're inside, we're running. Because, oh yeah, I can believe you can take my eternal burden. If you love me enough to take my eternal burden of sin, how much more will you take every single day, every shortcoming, every failure, every time I stumble, every weight? Why do we run inside? Why do we do that, Jerry? Why do we run inside? Oh, you're in church. There's a whole lot of people in church, but you're running inside. It's like approaching, go, well, I don't know. I'm just not measuring up today. I don't know if I can go in there. You didn't measure up the time you went in there lost. You're going to measure up when you get in there with him, because he's the only one that can measure you up. You can't measure yourself up. No flesh glories in his presence. He'll measure you up. Come to him. Amen. It's able to build you up. Able, say, able to build you up. Able to build me up. Notice what else he says in Acts 20. And give you an inheritance. And give you an inheritance. Now, the word inheritance is really unusual word. Because the nature of an inheritance is it's a free gift. Passes down from the father. In our case, it passes from the firstborn because he received the father's. Now, if it's inheritance, it's a free gift and it can't be worked for. Right? Can't be worked for. Now, go over to Romans 11 for a minute. Hallelujah. Romans 11, 6. This is one of our favorite verses now. And if it be by grace, Romans 11, 6, if it be by grace, if what be by grace? Salvation was one. Salvation, listen to Ephesians, says, by grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it was the gift of God. If it's going to be by grace, it can't be by works. Well, what else? If what be by grace? Your life, your destiny, your future, your breakthrough. How many are looking for breakthrough right now? How many are looking to go the other side? You've heard a word. You're going somewhere. God spoke to you and you've been stuck. If it be by grace, that's the only way you're going to get over there, because it's the grace and the word of his grace that's able to build you up and release that inheritance. And if it's going to be by grace, it cannot be by works. But if it's going to be by works, it can't be by grace. Those two don't operate together anywhere. Nowhere. Now, the discussion that we jumped into yesterday was what is works? Because we need a redefinement of what works is. Let's just take your job, your occupation, put that on a shelf. Because that's not what works is. That's what you do. Works is a system by which you operate. Grace is a kingdom by which operates through you. Grace operates through your spirit. Works operates through your soul. Because when you were born again, your spirit was seated in heavenly places and was given access to spiritual things. It was given access to an inheritance. But that inheritance has to make its way from the right hand of God through us into the earth. Now, the way that everything God's given us up here gets down here is by grace. And it has to come by free gift. And if there's works anywhere, what do you know it? What do you don't know it? Man, I wrote it on a tablet. We need a revelation of grace. We need a revelation of works. So grace flows, but works flows too. So we started, what is works? We started getting into this. What is works? Well, I know what works is when you were dealing with the Jewish nation, they were trying to obtain the righteousness of God by keeping his law, which would have never done that. It had to be a free gift that was administrated to us by faith. Now, I understand works in that dimension. It was a righteousness that was freely given. It's not something I could have worked for. I could have kept the law for 80 years and never found a new creation. It would have never changed my spirit from death to life. It was freely given. I had to surrender all that, come to the Lord, ask him to forgive me. I get that part. But what about going to the other side? What about when God's given you a promise to go to the other side and you've gotten in the boat and the storms of life are there? What about that place? Because if it be by grace, it can't be by works. Where's works in that one? Well, you were looking at it. Grace was resting in the shadow of the Almighty. Works were all over the disciples. What I mean by that, they were full of unrest. They were full of worry. They were full of care. They were full of anxiety. They were internalizing and taking a responsibility that wasn't theirs. The responsibility was sitting right next to them. The one that was holding the government. Because only one, he told me this the other day, he says, I am the only one that can carry the government of the Father. I administrate it through you, but I carry it. But if you take that responsibility on you, how many of you ever taken a responsibility on you and start internalizing and start getting the weight of it, start weighting you down, a weight? Some of you right now are carrying weights that don't belong to you. And what you don't realize is something in you accepted the responsibility, accepted it like, I've got to take care of this. I've got to do this. I've got to handle this. And so worry is a result. Anxiety is a result. Care is a result. And I'm carrying something that doesn't belong to me. That is works right there. You stepped into a place that you don't belong. And something stepped into you that doesn't belong to you. Now, that right there, because you've taken a responsibility, what did he say? Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke's easy. My burden is light. The Lord said this to me. He said, if you ever carry a yoke that's anything other than easy and light, you have taken something on you that doesn't belong. And you have internalized it and you start carrying it. I'm going to say this. Works is more a work within you than it's something you're doing with your hands out there. I'm talking about internalization of something that belongs to God, but you've taken it on yourself. That is works right there. Because you've got it and he doesn't. And when you've got it and he doesn't, guess what happens? If it be of works, it cannot be by grace. It shuts the grace of God. And the very thing you need to get you the other side is now blocked. It stopped up. Because sometimes it's our predefined understanding of what works is Then we go off somewhere and go, I don't do that. But we all do it. So I'm going to ask Pastor George to come up here and I'm going to share somebody who received an inheritance. This point, what he'll share with you, will get this point across really well. Come on here, Pastor George. Just give him a big hand clap. Hallelujah. This is powerful.
You know, one of the greatest blessings of my life is getting to go to men's conference with my son. And last fall, Chris and I went to men's conference in Columbus. It was a real experience for both of us for different reasons. But a highlight of the conference for me was a gentleman that spoke in one of the sessions. He shared his testimony. And he had worked for a major corporation in Austin for, I believe it was about 18 years. And he called him in one day and said, we're going to have to let you go. And he said, I don't understand. Well, why? Did I do something wrong? No, we just don't need you anymore. Well, at this point, the man was very, he said, he's the kind of guy that always has to be in control of everything. So he's like most men, I guess. We think we have to be in control of everything. And he was really in control of his life. Well-defined life, and he was in control, and everything was going great. They had three daughters in college. He lost his job. His wife had never worked. So he fell apart. He said, what are we going to do? So he went to the Lord, and he said, Lord, what am I going to do to take care of my family? 50-year-old man, and, you know, it's not easy for a 50-year-old man to find a job. So what am I going to do? And he said the Lord just didn't answer him, didn't respond. So he kept talking to his wife, and they kept praying. And his wife would say, don't forget, the Lord's in control. Well, I know, but I got to do something. But I don't know what to do. And his wife would say, well, don't forget, the Lord's in control. I understand that, but I don't know what to do. So one day he gone to visit a friend. As a matter of fact, a friend had invited him over so they could pray together. They lived kind of out in the country, so he was driving home, and he had taken a little detour down a dirt road. He said, I don't know why, I just did. So he was driving down the road, and he said, I was just pouring my heart out to the Lord, and I was yelling and crying and saying, Lord, why have you done this to me? My whole life is falling apart. My daughters might have to drop out of college. We might lose our house. I mean, I don't know what to do. And everything's falling apart. And he said, the Lord spoke back to him and said, if you'll stop, I'll show you. Now he's driving down a dirt road and he's crying out. He said yelling, crying and yelling at the Lord and saying, what am I going to do? And the Lord says, if you'll stop, I'll show you. He said he didn't understand what the Lord meant. He said, I didn't know if he meant if I'd stop yelling, if I'd stop crying, or if I'd just stop. So he said, I just stopped. He said, I pulled over on the side of the road, and I just stopped. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, look to your right. And he looked to his right, and there's a sign that says, there's 100 acres of land for sale. And he started laughing, and he said, that's a good idea, Lord, but I don't have money for a house note. How can I buy 100 acres of land? So he left, and he went on home, and all the way, this stayed in his spirit. He couldn't get rid of it. So after he got home, he called a friend of his that's a real estate agent, and he was talking to him, and he said, well, why don't I check into it? So he checked into it, moving down the road a little bit. They closed the deal on 100 acres of land with not a penny. 2 months after he bought the land, he got a phone call from an exploration company. Said, we're doing some exploration in that area, and we'd like to do some testing on your property. Today, the man has over 20 oil wells on that 100 acres of land. The man also has an oil refinery in Corpus Christi. His name is Dr. Andy Valero. Ever heard the name? Bless you, brother.
Isn't that incredible? Now notice, he was just like the disciples in the boat. He got out of control. And he was internalizing. Control is the biggest issue. We want to control everything. But there's just the fact is, God does too. And he's going to win. And so we have to learn the art of surrender. Surrender. See, he said, if you'll just stop. First thing you do is got to stop. Because he was in the wrong system right there. He could have no more heard from God right there. Because he was operating in another system, just like the disciples. Full of care, full of worry, full of anxiety. You know why he was that way? Because he took control and internalized his whole circumstance and says, I'm responsible for the future of my family. I'm responsible for my future. And he took that away from God. And when you take a burden that doesn't belong to you and you start internalizing it, you're going to move into a system of works. And God said, you'll just stop. Everyone say, stop. 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 Sometime all it takes is one time. Right there you stop, and all of a sudden the surrender. Look to your right. I like to say, look to the right hand of God. Look to the right hand. And there was it right there. There was his destiny right there in front of him. That's how close you are sometime. But you can walk right past it if you're in the wrong system. Because if works are operating like that, it'll shut down the very thing that every single one of us need the very most. It's grace. Grace to make us 1,000 times greater than we could ever be in the natural. That's the kind of grace I'm believing for. When he sent him into the promised land, he said, I'm going to make you 1,000 times greater than what you are. I'm going to multiply you. Listen, I know there's a lot of you who can do a lot of good things. But how much more could you do when God was involved? You know, God didn't birth us on this planet to do what we could do. He birthed us to do what he can do. And there's a difference between what we can do and what he can do. Some of us can do better things than others. We're just more proficient at things. But all of us, in receiving the grace of God, can do far greater than we could ever done in the natural. Sometimes you may not even know what I'm talking about today. You may not know. I don't know if I'm in works or grace, and I'm closing right now. But listen to this. You may not know. God's given signs. Isn't that amazing? Read the signs. God's a God of signs, miracles, and wonders. Sometimes we're waiting for an angel to stand up in front of our room and tell you, hey, you're out of alignment. That just doesn't happen very often. But register the signs, because he gives you daily signs to let you know where you're at. Because I'll give you the signs of grace and the signs of works. And if you can read the signposts, at least you'll know where you're at. You don't even need to know somebody come prophesy to you. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. You do need people to prophesy to you. But in that situation, what you need more than anything is grace. And if you're in the wrong place, grace will be shut off. Cut off. Signs of works, unrest, continual frustration, worrying all the time, anxiety all the time, fretting. You've internalized something that doesn't belong to you. You've taken a responsibility in your attempt to control your life, and you've taken only what God and belongs to him. And you can't carry, and it's going to create an internal burden. It's going to manifest itself into your body, your mind. It's going to manifest into your attitude, your emotions. It's going to create heaviness. It's going to create tension. It's going to create depression. All of that is signs you have eternalized and you're in a system of works trying to produce something only God can produce. And you're praying and crying out to God and you're not getting any answers, because if it be of works, it cannot be of grace. All that's got to be let go of. Everyone say, stop! Stop! If you're in grace, here's the signs of grace and inheritance. Psalms 37. Peace. Joy. Rest. I'm not talking about the rest and sleeping. Internal rest. Your heart's at rest. Calmness. That's where faith operates from, that foundation, see. You have faith in your heart. You're thankful. You're calm. You're full of peace. You're full of rest. See, that you don't get that stuff here. You got to go to Him and get that stuff. That's why every one of you should be at the throne of grace every single day. Read the signs of your heart. Don't condemn yourself. You got the wrong signs. You got to start taking that to God and surrendering. If you don't know how to surrender, I'll give you a key, and then I'm going to close my second close. Take you a pillow, put it in the middle of your floor when nobody's there. Get away from everybody. Get up or go to bed later. Get everybody away from you. Stick a pillow on the floor. Make it an altar. And get on that pillow. Put your head in it. And everything that you're full of, start letting go of it. I surrender it. I surrender this. Even if you don't feel like it. When I first learned to do this a long time ago, it took me 3 months to surrender what I can do now in 2 hours. Because you're going to learn how spiritual things work as you practice. I surrender. And you keep surrendering. Get you a pad and start writing down all the things that your little mind tells you you need to do today. Write it down, write it down, write it down. Because once you start addressing things, your mind will leave you alone. I addressed it. I wrote it down. Okay, I wrote it down. I wrote it down. I surrender. I surrender the burden. I surrender. See, and I practice. I actually see His feet, and I'm casting my care, and I have to remember, if He took the weight of my eternal sin, how much more does He want to take this burden from me? Forgive me for internalizing a responsibility that doesn't belong. My life belongs to You. You're in charge. I give You the charge. I give You the control. I let go. I release. I release. See, you got to unload all that before grace starts flowing. You got to unload, cast it. You see how that works? Cast it. Isn't that good? I'll say one other thing He told me. He said righteousness is a tangible attribute of the throne of grace. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Is peace tangible? I said, absolutely. He said, is joy tangible? I said, absolutely. He goes, righteousness is a tangible flow of the throne of grace that will cleanse you, wash you, and make you whole. You can believe for my righteousness to flow, especially when you're feeling the worst. That's when you come to me and said, cleanse me in pure righteousness. Wash me in pure righteousness. And it's a river that starts washing through you and washing over you. And you start feeling like you're a son of the living God. You start feeling like you're whole. Let's give Him praise. Glory to God. Everyone, here's your final word. Everyone, one, two, three, stop! One, two, three, stop! Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the throne of grace. We give You the praise, the glory, and the honor for this day. Bless Your people. Cover us, clothe us, and fill us with the grace that cometh from above. In Your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen.